The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab number 46 for April 4th, 2006. Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab. I'm Dave Hamilton. Of course, I'm here with John Braun. And it's so
good. Hi, Dave.
It's so good to be back home in our in my little studio here.
Well, that's right. You were away.
Oh, that sucked. Sorry about the sound last week. And that's the last of which we will mention it.
Yeah, but your machine pulled through on the road, right?
Yeah, the machine was great. And we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about the MacBook Pro.
Are.
Yep. And we've got some stuff about the whole cable modem versus DSL thing. And we'll talk about that later.
Could get messy.
It could get messy. That's right. And then we've got some ongoing conversations with you folks that we're gonna kind of continue on with here. So you were on a trip as well last week, right, John? You held up okay?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Yeah, I brought my Airport Express.
Yeah,
that's a must have. There was a problem with the outlets and all that, but yeah, that's always and their wireless worked just fine through that.
That's good.
I have to reconfigure
that's
it.
Good. We've got some travel tips to talk about, too, if we have time. You know, after John or I or both of us travel, we always have little tidbits of advice and little things that we've found to share with you. But first, let's actually talk quickly about something that happened late yesterday, which is the 10.4.6 update for macOS 10. I think it clocked in at, 48 megs for the PowerPC?
What a whopper.
And 108 megs for the Intel series, if you will.
And boy, it was just a little of everything.
It was. Yeah. You know what? I looked through, and of course, we'll link to it, but you know, Apple has their knowledge base article that lists all the changes. There's a couple of specific ones that we can mention here. But one thing I noticed while reading through this is that there were a lot of references to third-party apps. There were, you know, there were a couple of references to the Microsoft Office suite. There was a thing about Aspyre Media's True Crime Streets of LA game, Quark Express 6, World of Warcraft. I mean, it was The Sims, I think, was even mentioned here. A lot of stuff that they kind of wrapped up for that. And that just seemed out of character, if you will. So. Yeah.
I wonder if any of that has to do with the Intel.
Well, it didn't. Yeah, some of it was. And some of it was. Yeah, a couple of them were. And a couple of them were just. You know, regular
stuff.
So being
a bit more open, you think?
I think so.
That's good.
It's good. So the first thing I noticed that made me sort of spark up was that it says that it improves iDisk performance. And based on my limited testing today, it sure seems like the iDisk stuff is a little faster. There's also a major change to iSync in this thing. Though it's still not fast enough when you go to the system preferences and sort of navigate through the various panes or tabs rather of the sync area there in .Mac. But iDisk performance definitely seems faster. There's that whole thing in disk utility where it talks about, you know, and every time you'd repair permissions and it says it would give you what appeared to be an error where it said we are using special permissions for. Apparently that's gone now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because that always came. Yeah, it was something that it didn't fix.
Yeah.
iSync, yeah, I noticed that too. From what I read on some people on the web, they said the device support is expanded, which I think they're always doing with every release of iSync.
Yeah, that's right. But they do warn you. There's a couple things they warn you about in here. One is that if you are using iSync to sync with a phone or a mobile device, sync with it before you do this update, because apparently something can happen where that sort of falls apart.
Yeah, I think the first time you start it up, I saw mine. I haven't committed yet, but it says, you know, hey, I got to erase your phone or something. So I think it's using the memory in a different way or something. But so you want to make sure everything else is up to date, I believe, which they did recommend. And I did a full backup just in case.
As well, you should have. And then the other thing it does, and I actually updated three Macs today. One of them was my MacBook Pro, Intel, obviously. And then on Power, and two of them were PowerPC Macs. Sorry about that. I hate it when I hit the mic. But I talk with my hands, as those of you who have seen me. Yeah, well, you know, it happens.
Don't hit the mic.
Don't hit the Mike. Amateurs. Anyway, there was a thing in the notes here that said on PowerPC based Macs, it will reboot twice. It'll restart once, get a little bit through, and then reboot again. Knowing that it was going to do this, I wanted to see why. And so I actually held down Command V, which for those of you that don't know, means verbose mode, or don't just show me the pretty graphics. I want to see the Unix system report coming out behind
it. Now, by command, you mean Apple or Clover.
That's exactly what I meant. That's right.
But because that's always kind of annoyed me that there's really three accepted names for that key.
That's right. And one of them is not written on it. So, yes.
Which is what you just said.
Which is the one I just said. That's right. So, yeah, it was Apple V. But it didn't work. I held down Apple V and it didn't show me anything. But I held down Apple V on the second restart and I saw a line that said it was removing a whole bunch of different files. Some things in temp, some were swap files. One was in /etc/no login. And then the other that really caught my attention was that it was removing /mock.sim, which I believe is the kernel loader. So perhaps this double reboot is because it was updating the kernel or something with OS X. I don't know why that would need a double reboot, but perhaps that's what's going on. Mock, M-A-C-H.
Oh, right, M-A-C-H.
Yes, not M-O-C-K, not like the mock turtles from Alice in Wonderland or anything. Did you like that reference dropped in there?
Yeah.
Well, it's appropriate. So that was that. Oh, and then there was the one other thing that now the Mac will actually tell you when it has adjusted the clock for daylight savings time. Of course, that's a couple of days too late for this past Saturday's daylight savings time thing here in most of the U.S. But I don't know if you saw today, we got the press release in, John. It went so well. We had such a stellar daylight savings time this past weekend. This coming Saturday, the 8th, we're doing it again. So...
By popular demand.
So your Mac should take care of that for you. But if it doesn't, go ahead and change the clock yourself, because it is a little known fact. But we got the press release here, of course, TMO being one of the major news outlets for the world.
We got that.
Yeah, that's right.
In the TMO towers.
It came in via telex, believe it or not.
Does anybody even know what that is?
I don't even know how that just got into my head. So no, I can't imagine that people would know what that is.
No, they would. How about COBOL?
COBOL.
Ooh.
Yeah, more people probably know what COBOL is than Telex. All right, so I did travel with this MacBook Pro, and it was my first trip with it. And I promised I would tell you all about it. And John's going to question me and try and trip me up here, which I'm sure he'll be able to do because he's frankly a lot smarter than I am.
I'm the smart one tonight.
Well, you're always the smart one.
As are you. Please proceed, brother.
I tried to kind of chop up my notes here into various different things. As far as the hardware goes, I got lucky. I don't have the issue with the processor making noise, the whining or anything like that. My serial number starts with what, MB07 or something, and I think it's the ones with MB11 or M something 11. There's an article on TMO today that I'll link to that talks about this. But Apple is actually issuing motherboard updates for folks who are having this problem. So if you are having it, you can call AppleCare. Like I said, the details will be in the show notes. But I did notice that it gets very hot on my lap to the point where I can't really put this thing on my lap, especially if both processors are running. Now, I can turn the second processor off, and that helps a little bit. The one processor that stays on is the one on the left-hand side. The one that turns off is the one on the right. But when you turn if you are interested in turning the processor off to do various things, know this. When you put the Mac to sleep and wake it back up, both processors come back on with it. So very important to know that if you're, say, on an airplane and, you know, I found that the DVD player coming back, I watched movies for a little over 3 hours and until the battery, I actually finished and the battery still had maybe 10% left. But I did that by turning off all networking turning off all Bluetooth. So no airport, no Bluetooth. And I choked it down so that only one processor was running. And playing a DVD on this thing used maybe 15 to 20% of the processor, the single processor that was left. So there was, it had plenty of headroom. But
cool. Yeah. Now, micro, quickly, I got anywhere from 2.5 to 5 hours. 5 hours if I wasn't doing wireless, because they did have wireless. Now, so that, I was able to squeak that, 5 hours.
That's on, just so that the folks know, that's a 12-inch PowerBook, is that right?
Yeah, 1.67.
Okay.
Or 7G4.
It seems like the screen size is the big barrier to battery life there. But
yeah, I tried to keep the screen down. I actually noticed with, what am I using here? X battery. It shows you the current draw, which is kind of interesting to know.
Well, that was actually one of the interesting things, because the fellow who made X battery also makes Thermograph X, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're both made by Jeremy Keyser, if I'm pronouncing his name right. Yeah, well, unfortunately, there is no temperature monitor for the MacBook Pro yet. And it's not because the software hasn't been written. It's because Apple has not provided a way of accessing the temperature sensors that are inside it via software. So until those hooks are built into the OS, we're not going to be able to get any baselines on how these things should be running. But one thing that did bug me, jumping around a little bit here, one thing that did bug me was that I had gotten very addicted to my airplane power adapter for the MacBook Pro, or for the PowerBook. And of course, with the new power adapter on the MacBook Pro, that doesn't exist anymore. So I have no way of getting juice, but I found something. I stumbled onto something very cool. I have a car adapter for my iPod, and I happen to have it in my backpack where I had my on the plane where I had my MacBook Pro. And so I was watching a little movie on the iPod on the way to Austin, and I plugged the car adapter into the little power outlet on the seat of the airplane, and it worked just fine. So if you have one of those, which you probably do, you can use one of those on airplanes, and they work just fine. So
cool. Thumbs up to our pals at Amtrak, which I took to go Boston and back. They have, what a good idea, 120-volt normal plugs near all the seats, at least on the Acela train.
And normal plugs?
It's like, yeah.
Oh, thank goodness.
Why fiddle with all... Just put a normal plug there. So I was able to watch movies and not run down a battery, though. I can usually, like you, get at least one movie out of a battery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't have wireless on there yet, though.
They will. They will. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. One other thing with the hardware on the MacBook Pro, the power light's a little weird. I noticed it would be... there's the little light kind of on the front of the bottom portion of the MacBook. And on my PowerBook, of course, that light would only come on when it was fully asleep, and it would pulse. It would sort of, glow on and off, on and off. Well, on the MacBook, that's still true. If it's asleep, it will pulse. However, if the display goes to sleep, the light comes on and is just solid white. So it was a little weird getting used to that. I thought it kept going to sleep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very strange. But, hey, there you go.
Wireless work okay?
My wireless has been working fine, yeah. I seem to have gotten one of the ones that doesn't have any problems, or at least none that it's showing yet, so.
Okay, that's cool. Fine. I told you about one of my coworkers just got, I think, pretty much the same class machine as you did, and we have a Leap network using Cisco.
Right.
And before, it just would say, huh? It was like it almost wasn't trying, and some people had a hack for using a driver off of iMac, I think.
Okay.
But they fixed it. I said, yeah, apply the update, and it worked immediately. So Leap is fixed. So they had some wireless glitches. I know a lot of people had problems with Leap and Peep and all that other stuff. So it's nice to see them respond pretty quickly.
Is that the 10.4.6 update you said?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Oh, that's good. Then I didn't
specifically
realize
fixed Leap.
Cool.
At least with the Cisco hardware.
That's good.
Yeah, I had my coworker kind of grumbling because it works on the other Macs we have, the Motorola-based. So that was, I think, one of the Intel things. Just, they fixed it.
That's awesome. That's great. All right. So, one of the things that everybody's been kind of clamoring about is the fact that there was that contest where you now can follow a series of instructions and then boot Windows XP on your Intel-based either MacBook Pro, Mac Mini, or iMac. And I think that there's instructions out for all three now.
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah, well, you wouldn't. At least I wouldn't. But anyway, it does beg the question, well, what if I do need to run something in Windows? You know, previously we could use Virtual PC. That doesn't exist anymore, at least not for the
not
Intel Macs. Yeah, it does not run under Rosetta. But there's a piece of software called OpenOS X, and it uses an emulator called, and I don't know how to pronounce it, Qemu, Q-E-M-U. And I guess it's Q-M-U, right?
Yeah.
Q-M-U, right? And they've been updating it fairly steadily. There was an issue where installing Windows XP took literally a day and a half. Literally. But once it was installed, it would run fine. Now they've actually solved that problem, and it installs in about 30 minutes. They came out with that fix, I don't know, six hours after I finished.
Wait, I've tried
the
this. The logo is yellow, I think. Yes, it does take a long time. I tried it briefly.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it works great. I've been using it. It talks to the network. It doesn't realize that I have a DVD burner in there or anything like that. But for 90% of the stuff that you'd need to do, it fires right up into Windows XP. It works just fine. And the cool thing is, near as I can tell, it's not doing any real emulation. It's just doing, instruction mapping or whatever it is you would call that. I.e., it's letting the Intel chip just act like an Intel chip, and it's passing the instructions back and forth from Windows. So processor utilization on the thing is very, very minimal, unless, of course, you're doing something in Windows that requires, heavy-duty processor use. So,
yeah. If it's the one I'm thinking of, it has an option to select the type of processor. So you can say not only... So it has PowerPC, but I think it also has Intel and also 64-bit Intel.
That's right. Yeah.
Which actually we have someone who's running a 64-bit XP. So that could be interesting too.
Huh. Yeah. I don't know what
it's the
does.
First one I know of that lets you, make it look like another processor.
Right.
So all sorts of emulation. We should do an emulation show. They do have a...
Sounds like a great idea. but it works great. No problems there. The other software that I need to make my life work is, of course, Missing Sync to sync with my Trio. And now that's out of beta. Version 5.1 of Missing Sync is a fully released universal binary and works great. And Default Folder finally has an alpha version out, and it's alpha. Very, very alpha. Yeah, it's quirky. Sometimes it doesn't work quite right, but it is Default Folder. So if you are addicted to that, as addicted to it as I am, it's like, getting your left thumb back. At least that's what it was like for me. So, so that's that. That's my thoughts on the MacBook Pro. You heard my initial review on it a couple of weeks ago when I got it. I like this thing. To reiterate, native stuff rocks on it. Emulated stuff, the stuff in Rosetta, runs just as fast, if not a little bit faster, than it did on my previous PowerBook, which was the fastest PowerBook you could get. So if you need to run a laptop, unless you need to run Photoshop, that does definitely run slower than it did on my PowerBook. But unless you need to run Photoshop, pretty much that's the only app that I've found that runs slower. And it's not horrible. It's still very, very manageable. But it does run slower. Unless you need to run Photoshop, there's no reason not to get the MacBook Pro in my view. Speed-wise, you're going to be fine. You do want RAM, though, the 512 that it comes with. And this goes for any of the Intel-based machines out there. Uh-huh. Or ICBMs, as the folks at Rogue Amoeba call them, right? Intel chip-based Macintoshes. They, you like that? You need more RAM. I maxed this thing out at 2 gigs right out of the gate. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need
that.
Get more. Because Rosetta stuff uses a truckload of RAM. So that's a
truckload.
A truckload. All right. We had a conversation going last week, I believe, and about full keyboard access and various keyboard shortcuts. And we got a lot of feedback about how you can... John and I answered a question about how to simulate what you can do in Windows with full keyboard access. And we really kind of, we missed a pretty major thing. And Slough actually was kind enough to send in audio feedback about it. So,
hey, Dave and John. This is Slough calling from New York. Just wanted to give you some quick feedback regarding, I believe it was Joel from London. I think you said Joe, but I thought I heard him say Joel. Not sure, but at any rate, he was the guy that was asking about keyboard shortcuts in OS X. And I just wanted to point out that you guys, you know, touched upon the keyboard shortcuts tab of the keyboard and mouse pane in System Preferences. I just want to point out that there is a there are two radio buttons in that window, and it says something like in Windows and dialog boxes, press Tab 2, and then the first radio button is to move between text boxes and lists, and the second radio button says something like All Items. And if you check that second radio button in a dialog, you could just press Tab and move to the various buttons like OK or Save or whatever, you know, is the case in the dialog box. But the other thing also I want to point out is that in that outline where you have lists of keyboard shortcuts, there is one folder in there called Keyboard Navigation. And in there you'll find some shortcuts like, for example, to move to menus, like Joel was asking. You can use Control F2 to move to the menu bar and then just navigate with arrow keys. To move to the dock, you can use Control F3, for example. And there's a bunch of shortcuts in there you can see. And anyway, just wanted to point that out to you and hope that helps. And love the show. Keep up the great work. And I'll see ya. Bye.
Thanks, Lau. So, yeah, we missed that. Of course, I had a couple people write in saying, well, you didn't mention this, but it still kind of stinks. It's not nearly as good as Windows. So
agreed.
Yeah, there you go.
That is my coworker's top gripe. He's like, where's the keyboard equivalent? So I'm like,
Now,
they didn't think about it that way.
They didn't think about it that way. Windows, I can navigate with no mouse, no problem. Mac, yep. No. No, not really.
Pretty rough.
Yeah, and if you are a Windows user, and I know that because we had this survey, I know that about 50% of you actually use Windows.
Really?
In addition to 90-something percent. It's not 100% Mac, you know. The survey's over, by the way.
They must be forced to do it at work.
Yeah, but no, we actually have quite a few listeners that, and you know.
I do, too, during the day.
Well, yeah, but we've got people that don't own Macs that listen to this show for inspiration for when they do get Macs. But,
inspiration.
Yeah, for the 50% of you that wind up using Windows, Control Tab is your friend as far as activating various things that you thought previously you could only get to with the mouse. Control Tab and then Tab it can kind of move you around. And of course, Control Escape will open the start menu in Windows. So there you go. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Windows Geek Gab. So we ran a quick tip on TMO about how to make your own keyboard shortcuts, which we will link to in the show notes back on March 8th. And I also got an email, and I don't know who it was from, about a very, very in-depth, intricate, very geeky way of customizing the Cocoa text system. It was posted at a Harvard website there. I think it's probably a student there, or perhaps a professor. So I'll link to that, too. We're not going to get into that. It's way geeky, and frankly, it doesn't translate well via audio. You'd want to be reading this stuff and entering it into the terminal and editing files and back up your Mac first. So,
with Carbon Copy Cloner or something else.
Or something else, yeah, that's right.
That's my favorite, because I can that boot works, from the works copy. Pretty well.
I got to get a new hard drive. I have like one that's 180 gig and then another one that's like a 40 gig. But I need to get like a 500 gig hard drive to back
up
to
as
well. Well, no, on external FireWire.
Okay.
That I use.
Yeah,
to back
I don't
up
think we're. Network. I think yeah. The I got a 300 less than a year ago.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Serial ATA, pretty cheap.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're probably up to 500 now, if not bigger.
Yeah, they've got
terabytes coming. Right.
I saw. I think OWC and Trans International are both selling. Well, I mean the drive's out there, so they just mount it in their case and.
Are they up to terabyte, full terabyte drives, not stitched?
Gosh, you know, I don't know. I haven't.
But they
looked.
Were still because yeah. at least the early ones were stitched together like two.
Yeah.
Two fives. It'll get there eventually.
Huh. Interesting.
Okay. With all that space.
That's all right. You'll fill it up. You know you will. Everybody.
Movies.
Everybody
with
does.
Movies.
Yeah. You always find a way. It doesn't matter. The first hard drive I ever had was a 40 meg hard drive. I thought I had the world by the short hairs.
You know.
Now this podcast will get close to filling that up. So there you go. So that's that conversation. If, of course, if you have anything to add, email it to MacGeekGab@MacObserver.com. We have, we began the conversation about cable versus DSL. And
it was like stirring up a hornet's nest.
It was, but this is great because we're going to talk a little bit about it here. And then next week, we're probably going to have a guest gabber, someone who was involved in developing some cable modem technology back a number of years ago to kind of help us answer the question of the real question I want to dig into here is the whole myth, or is it a myth, about how DSL is better than cable because cable is on a shared network and DSL is a guaranteed pipe, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really the question I want to get into. However, he's going to help us there.
I
we got a bunch of emails from folks, various topics. There were quite a few, including Micah's from Switzerland, where it sounds like DSL over there is a whole lot more prevalent because, DSL, there was an issue where the government opened up the various governments rather opened up the doors for these cable companies to come in, but they're not offering nearly the services that you can get via satellite, which everyone had before, or DSL, and satellite being TV obviously, and then DSL with your high speed. And Micah said for about $35 US a month in Switzerland, you can get a 24 megabit downstream and 1 megabit upstream connection. The TV gets streamed through your DSL, the phone, rental movies, all that stuff is coming right through. And it's using, of course, copper wire, so it's taking advantage of existing infrastructure. I think we kind of hit the ground running a little too late in this country with, or because we were the first ones out of the gate with a lot of this stuff. Our infrastructure just wasn't set up to support DSL properly, and that's why cable sort of took over here.
It was all the copper versus,
right.
I mean, if you look at how much each can hold, I mean, it's, you know, pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it has to do with, you know, the competition angle, because typically, even now, in whatever area you're in, it's usually one cable provider and one telephone provider. So that seems
to
be changing.
That's right. Yeah,
in some areas, and then so if they're basically if their old infrastructure was crummy, then
there you go.
Yeah, and I guess there are chances. I think we've been spoiled because we've usually lived in areas near a city or.
That's right.
No,
that's right.
Major metro. I know in Middle America, a lot of times you may not.
That's right.
Not necessarily be near a fiber backbone.
Right. Well, the other thing is, you know, a lot of countries had built their infrastructure after we did. So they got to look at us and say, okay, here's what the US did right. But if they could do it again, here's what they would do differently. And so, you know, countries like Poland and various other places that built their infrastructures after we did actually have better phone systems out there because.
Or skip it.
Or just skip it. Yeah.
Some countries go right to wireless. They're like,
yep, that's right.
What do you need a cable for?
That's right. Yeah.
Fiber, though? Yes, you need fiber. Fiber in the home.
Yeah, that's
right. Out there.
Feels.
It's out there.
Verizon's doing it. Yep. If there's anybody listening to the show that's using Verizon's Fios offering, I'd love to hear from you. Either audio comment or
Massachusetts,
text.
I think. Yep. It's northeast right now, from what I heard. Maybe some other areas.
I know Boston's got it, so that's not far from us here. I keep looking to see if they're going to bring it here. I think with the university in town, I keep hoping that, you know, they'll get something close to us. But
I wonder if Peter or Andy or one of those guys.
Andy might. Peter's in Cape Cod, so that's.
No, that's the sticks.
That's everywhere's the sticks to you. here's what Ruben had to say.
Hi guys, it's Ruben in Annapolis. Still enjoying the show. I'm sending a message because
I just listened to your last episode, and you were foreshadowing to some, I guess your next one of the next topics on your next show, which would be what's faster, DSL or I guess cable networks. And in Annapolis, Maryland, in my community, I have a cable. I get my internet through a cable modem and through a cable service. Starts with a C, ends with a T. You can probably figure out what that is.
I have.
But I was, kept on getting letters and everything from the local phone provider, which they do a great job with that. A huge provider, starts with a V. I'm sure you can figure out what the phone provider is. And they said, hey, our DSL is very fast, blah, blah, blah. I hooked it up, and I compared the two, and the cable was slightly quicker. Now, I know that right now they are installing cable throughout my community, they're installing something in the ground, fiber optic cables or something. That may be quicker in the after that's installed. I'm not really sure exactly what they're putting in there, if they offer something through that. But right now, with their standard network, it's not what it's all cracked up to be as far as the DSL compared to the cable. So that's just my comment here in my locality.
There you go. There you go.
I think, in fact, they're not installing new communication cables. It's the government agents and
the black helicopters.
They're retrieving monitoring devices.
One of them is outside right now, John.
They look like utility workers.
I gotta go. That's it, folks. Thanks.
No. Careful. They may look innocent, but
they're not.
Haven't you watched X-Files? Come on.
They're not.
They would put, the monitoring device.
All right.
That was a good show. All right. What are you watching? You told me. We'll talk about that later.
The French Parliament approved that DRM bill, right? You know what I'm talking about, John? Where they basically,
everybody play nice. We're going to, control the market here. Here's how you should do business. At least that's one take on this.
What they said was, if you buy a song from any music service, it needs to be usable on any portable player. Now, Apple responded to this by saying, well, the French have just legalized piracy. And, it's fascinating to me to watch Apple leap from clearly one side of the fence to clear on the other side, right? Because when they came out with the iTunes Music Store, they said, listen, we trust you folks. We know you're not going to pirate music. But in order to placate the labels, we had to build in a thing where...
The labels.
Yeah, that's what they said. In order to cut this deal that we cut with the labels, we had to do this thing where we would, only let you burn, one playlist 10 times. But don't worry. All you got to do is change something and change it back, and then you can do it again. We just had to do this for the labels. We trust you. We know you're not going to pirate. We just need to prove this to the labels, right? Well... Now the French government has basically said the same thing. People aren't going to pirate. We're just going to let them do what they do. But but Apple comes out and acts like who? The labels. It ticks me off. They've become the big boy now, and now they're the bad guy. Oh yeah. It just drives me crazy. What do you think? I mean,
DRM's annoying.
Yeah, but Apple's defending it like they need to have it they want to have it, as opposed to it's a necessary evil. You'd think Apple, if this was the Apple of 5 years ago or whatever it was that came out with the iTunes Music Store, they would be applauding this decision. Great, we don't have to use DRM. Well, clearly their business model requires that they use DRM to sell iPods. And
I don't know. The other hand, though, is that I think a lot of it was to placate the labels, just like, okay,
it was. Then why are they pissing and moaning about the French government saying that they have to, they have to open it up? Don't you think they should be happy about that?
No, I think it's personal. You know what I think? Remember Jean-Louis Gasset? Probably mangled his name. Yes. It's from the past.
Ah, so you think
there's
that's
a French connection in Apple's past.
That's right.
How's that for the tinfoil hat crowd?
Wow. Yeah. Well, I wish I could agree with you, my friend.
I'm just channeling. I didn't say
that. Yeah, I know. Oh, I know.
Apple's history is fun. One of my favorite books is The Journey is the Reward.
That was a great book. Great book. Book about Steve Jobs. Yeah. Yeah.
Dispels a lot of myths. We'll link to it. I'm sure it's out there, but it...
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah.
So
it drives me crazy.
Pirates of Silicon Valley?
That was the movie, wasn't it?
You watched that? Yeah. Yeah, that was another pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
But anyways, what else? So yeah, I guess it's hopefully you have access to at least one fast connection, right?
Yeah, I guess so. That's how it goes. All right, so let's go through some of these travel tips because I found a couple of other things here.
Always pack an extra pair.
That's right.
Of everything.
And here's one thing that I always do, but this time it saved me. I walked into the hotel room, and the first thing I do before I unpack is make sure I have high-speed access that works. Because some rooms aren't quite right, whatever. And so I get in there, and I'm looking around, and I open it up, and no wireless. And I knew they said they had high-speed, but I couldn't remember if it was wireless or wired. And so I call the front desk, and they're like, oh, yeah, look behind the desk where the phone is, and you'll see a blue Ethernet cable on the floor. Just plug that in. So, okay, fine. And so I start tugging on the cable, and I found both ends of it. So I thought, well, based on what I know about electronic resistance, this isn't going to work. So
you got to plug into something.
Yeah. So I looked, and behind the bed, there was the jack for the Ethernet, and it was literally blown to smithereens. I think someone... I'm not sure what the last person was doing in this room, but I don't think it was surfing the internet. So I called the front desk and had him move me to a different room. And the guy came in. He's like, "Oh, well, I have this little tester here. Let me just test it to see what the problem is." I'm like, "No, dude, you don't understand." I showed it to him. He says,
"New one."
Oh, I said, "I think we're gonna need to go to a different room." He's like, "Oh, yeah, that's not gonna work at all. No, it's not." So.
And where were you staying? Or maybe you don't want to say.
This was a cheesy little Clarion Inn. I go back and forth. Sometimes, if I can get a good deal with Hotwire or Priceline, I'll stay at some super hoopty-doopty. The last time I was in Austin, I was at the Stephen F. Austin Hotel. It was a 5-star place. Basically paid the same price that I paid it at this Clarion Inn. This Clarion Inn, it had movies on demand. One night I wanted to watch a movie. I was done with what I needed to do early and didn't feel like sitting at the desk and watching on the PowerBook, and of course didn't want to scald my thighs by putting the PowerBook in bed. So I figured, well, let me see what they have. And they had, something that looked mildly entertaining, like Fun with Dick and Jane. And so I start looking at the instructions of how to do this. And it says tune the TV to a certain channel and then pick up the telephone, press a button on this little device next to the telephone that I then had to swipe my credit card through. And then I was punching buttons on the telephone while watching the responses on the TV. And I picked the movie. I picked the movie, and it started, but it was clear that it was being played from a VCR somewhere, and the tracking was off, so it was moving all around. So I had to cancel the movie and just, I don't know, I guess I watched it.
Did you also have to do the hokey pokey?
It was ridiculous. So I think I read
it. Must have been, it sounds like a hobbyist project.
I read a book.
He sold the hotel and
drank a glass of wine and went to sleep.
There's some guy somewhere in the basement who gets an electric shock and load this tape up.
he's fast asleep until the shock comes in. Yeah.
Yeah. My room was good. Working cable, working one electrical outlet.
You were in a nice place, so.
Weston Copley Square.
Those are nice places. They got the heavenly bed there,
Yeah, and the heavenly shower. Bath.
Yeah, heavenly bath. That's
boy,
right.
Boy, howdy. But yeah, one electrical outlet did not work, which was slightly annoying because it was near all the network and other stuff.
Another travel tip right there. Bring a power strip with you. There are never enough plugs at the desk for your airport base station and your PowerBook and your external hard drive and the mixer that I have to bring
and the iron.
Right. That's right. Although, don't plug your iron into the PowerBook. That doesn't work so well.
No. Usually not.
And I'll leave this with one last thought. Remember the days of OS 9, John? Do you remember those days?
Ew.
I do. There's only like 3% of our listeners that use OS 9, by the way.
Bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We've been there.
There was one thing that was really good, and it was called the Location Manager. Do you remember that? You could change, and OS 10 thinks it has this, where you can change the location, but all that does is alter your network settings. With OS 9, the Location Manager would change your it would change your network
currency
settings. It would change currency. It would change your time zone for you. It would change the servers that it mounted. It would do all kinds of stuff, and it was great. And I long for that day. So is there a piece of shareware out there that will do that for me? You know? Anyone?
I do not know.
Bueller? Well, Bueller. If you know,
please.
If you, and I don't mean that other guy, I mean you.
Huh. Who knows this girl who was coming out with this guy who saw him. At
well, if you Bueller. Know, email MacGeekGab at MacObserver.com. And you can send us audio comments to that address, or you can Skype them to the Skype voicemail, which is simply MacGeekGab. And that's free. It costs us money. It doesn't cost you money. And I didn't want to confuse that issue. So, and, you know, we do have the enhanced feed that Michael does for us so quickly every week. And I wanted to make sure all of you knew about it because a lot of you use it. There's probably 10 or 15% of our listeners are using it. But my guess is that you know, some of you didn't realize we had it. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned it again.
And it's awesome using iTunes or an iPod.
And Michael's been doing a lot of the last couple have been really cool. There are more pictures and links than there are chapters. He's really become a wizard with this chapter tool. So much better than having me or John do it because A, it gets out in time, and B, it's actually better. So thank you, Michael. And thank you to all of you who subscribe, not just to that feed, but to the other one, the MP3 one. We appreciate you being a subscriber.
I want to know what you think. How do you tell us?
Well, the various methods that we talked about
Podcast
previously.
Podcast Alley.
You can vote.
iTunes. A lot of good stuff there.
Yep. Or you can call. You can actually pick up the phone and call. We'll never answer, of course. The telephone. 206-666-GEEK.
Oops.
MacGeekGab.com or MacObserver.com/podcast. That's it. Next week, we hope to have the a guest gabber on talking about DSL and cable. And next week's show will probably be out on Monday. This one was out on Tuesday, so we were a day early on the first side and a day late on this side. Thanks a lot, folks. Hope you have a great week. Thanks for staying subscribed. Yep. We'll catch you next time.
Complaints go to /dev/null, right?
Delete right away at MacGeekGab.com.